What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
How do you do a Week 16 Tough Calls episode when the entire league feels like a tough call right now? And every important Kansas City Chief, except for Mahomes, that's a little bit of an overstatement, is on the COVID list. We're going to talk about it right now on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome, everyone, and congratulations if you won yesterday. If you didn't win, and you're done, and you're still listening or watching, that is dedication, and congratulations to you for being so awesome. Adam, Dave, and Heath breaking down some Week 16 tough calls, plus the two games from last night. And what we thought about the Rams-Seahawks game, the Eagles football team game. I have a trivia question to start it off. If you know the answer, please do not answer. Give the audience some time to think about it. Who was the last wide receiver to win NFL MVP?
Jerry Rice.
Dave?
It's the only name I could think of.
Okay.
Unless it's somebody from, like, I don't know. 30 years ago.
The answer is it has never happened.
That's what I was also thinking.
The only player with WR in his name that has won the MVP was Lawrence Taylor. He is the closest thing to a wide receiver that has ever won the MVP. Cooper Kupp's got a chance. He is so good. Is he going to? He's not on a 16 game pace to break Calvin Johnson's record. My question was, is he going to break Calvin Johnson's record?
Probably.
In 17 games, he'd be pretty close. Let's see. One.
And I don't like
how far away is he?
In 17 games, he would beat it. He'd be on pace for 1,973 yards. Calvin's record was, do you know it off the top of your head?
1964.
Okay. So he'd beat it. But not in 16.
A lot of people seem to want to put asterisks on this and say, yeah, but it's 17 games. They played 14 games for, like, what, 30 years or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed it to 16 games. We don't have asterisks on all the 16-game records. It's the record's the record.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. He's on pace to break the record. He has been so good. Is he the fantasy MVP?
You can definitely make the case for him to be the fantasy MVP.
I think right now it's probably between Taylor, because Taylor's been just the only running back who didn't suck. Cup, Mark Andrews is 100% in the conversation. That's probably it. Three horse race.
Cooper Kupp is 5.7 fantasy points per game better than 5.6 than Davante Adams and Deebo Samuel, who are number two per game. I mean, he is crushing the field.
How much do the next 2 weeks matter in the fantasy MVP discussion?
A lot, I'd say. You got to come through.
You're
going to
wait it towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. You got to come through with.
Speaking of the playoffs, did you notice in the emails that we got about our matchups, which I haven't got to those yet either, for my leagues that I'm commissioned?
Either
the 6 seed beat the 1 seed in almost every league that I'm in.
No, the 3 seed
beat the 3. Yeah. The 6 beat the 3 in almost every league that I'm in.
That also happened in the podcast league. You didn't see the email because it didn't get sent, but that also happened in the podcast league. So.
Who did the 6 seed beat the 3 in the 4 the People League?
There's no such thing as a sixth seed in the For the People League. Okay, let's get started with today's show. Rams 20 and Seahawks 10. Rams had the ball for 35 minutes and 6 seconds. By the way, the Eagles in their game had the ball for 35 minutes and 17 seconds. So lopsided time of possession games there. Heath, the Seahawks offense, are you optimistic about them facing the Bears next week? Wilson, nope. Metcalf, Lockett, Penny. No, why not?
Well, for Penny, it's because the Bears' run defense is very, very good when Akeem Hicks plays. He is a monster of a man who is also an exceptional athlete and a joy to watch. But I'm scared of Penny because of the matchup. I'm scared of Metcalf because of the last 2 months of my life. I'm scared of Wilson because of almost the entirety of 2021. And I'm scared of Lockett because he's still on the COVID list.
All right. Yeah. If Lockett comes back, though,
they have a bad offense that runs 50 plays a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we've talked, because normally you think with a big outlier like this, it will change. But Jacksonville and Houston, obviously two of the worst teams in football, have run the second and third fewest plays. They've both basically run 10% more plays than Seattle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk about it all the time. They're last in possession, they're last in plays. Difference. And I think it's because they're toward the bottom in third down conversions. They're just awful on third down. Now, do we give Metcalf a pass for two reasons? One, he got shadowed by Jalen Ramsey. And
for the last 2 months?
Just hold on. And two,
Jalen Ramsey's just been traveling around the country,
yes,
following
DK
Metcalf wherever he goes.
He's in his head. He was looking ahead. He's like, I'm going to get shadowed by Jalen Ramsey in 2 months. Oh, no. And the fact that he could have had a huge game if Wilson didn't underthrow him on a deep ball.
No, he gets no pass.
Okay.
This was the all. In fact, if anything, he should get roasted even more. This was his opportunity. He had 12 targets. Even if he's getting shadowed by Jalen Ramsey, he should be able to average more than 10 yards per catch and do better than a 50% catch rate against Jalen Ramsey, especially if you are who you say you are, and that is one of the best top receivers in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been that. Heath's already said it for a while. No pass.
All right, Dave. Is Daryl Henderson is Sony Michel the guy? Just 18 carries to 6 for Daryl Henderson?
Yeah, I don't have the snap rates yet. They might be on the game book, but I think that he's probably the one that fantasy managers will gravitate toward. We shouldn't have any question about which Rams running back to like moving forward. And now I think you'll like Sony Michel against Minnesota. It's not the easiest matchup in the world, of course, but I think that he'll be okay.
Is he ahead of Rashad Penny next week?
Yes.
Okay. Sony Michel played 48 of 66 snaps, and Daryl Henderson played 18. So it looks like things have changed there. Cup was great. Beckham and Jefferson were not, and Stafford was not. He only threw 29 passes, 21 of 29, 244, 2-1. I mean, not that bad of a game. 19 fantasy points. I'm assuming that got him in the top 12 or pretty close this week.
Oh, probably top 10.
Yeah, so I don't think there's concerns there. Minnesota has been just awful against the pass, so set up for success next week. What do you make of the bad game from Cup and Jefferson, Heath? I'm sorry. Beckham and Jefferson.
We talked about this on the stream last night about how Van Jefferson should not be viewed as someone with a very good floor because of, like, he was just reliant on one big play every week, and he finally had a week where he didn't have the big play. I don't know that much really changes for him. I still think he's a boom-bust wide receiver 3. Like he was last week. I thought Beckham was more of a number 2 wide receiver, and now it looks like he kind of belongs in that boom bust category with Jefferson, but I still prefer Beckham to Jefferson.
It felt like to me that the Rams were attacking the middle of the field. I think about a lot of the targets for Kupp and Skronek. I just think that that's where they were trying to make plays. They didn't really want to mess with the perimeter game against Seattle.
And Seattle's pretty good against wide receivers. I mean, Cooper Kupp's a different beast, but Seattle, that's their strength. They stink against running backs in the passing game and tight ends. But this is, I think, maybe more of just Seattle only scored 10 points and the Rams just kind of went run heavy and threw 29 times and 5 combined targets for Beckham and Jefferson. That's never good. All right, Philadelphia 27, Washington 17. I said this on FFT and 5. It was the best I've ever seen Jalen Hurts look. He was incredible. The interception on the opening drive was obviously not his fault, totally fluky. The fumble was bad. It was a bad play. But this guy was completely locked in. And I guess if there were one thing that I'm only 39 rushing yards, I think, right? Which is way below what he had been at before the ankle injury, 38 rushing yards. He had been at 55 or more in six straight games, but I can't really say anything bad about him. He looked great. Heath, give me your thoughts on the Eagles, and then Dave, you can talk about Washington.
It was fantastic to see Miles Sanders dominate the way he did early in this game. It was disappointing that they rested him in the fourth quarter like they did, but he said that they were just trying to keep him healthy. I would like it if Miles Sanders could score a touchdown this season, but I think you feel comfortable with him as a number two running back. You feel comfortable with Hurts as a number one quarterback. Dallas Goedert looked like a superstar tight end. Devontae Smith remains a boom bust number three wide receiver.
When do we take the word boom out?
He's not a number three wide receiver.
He's just been trash. Yeah, because this was such a great game for Hurts, and he did nothing.
Well, it was a great game for, yes, Hurts had what, two rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, 296 yards.
Yeah.
And Smith had 40.
I understand that you guys value the last 4 weeks a lot more than I do. 5 weeks ago, he had 66 yards and two touchdowns. 6 weeks ago, he had 116 yards and a touchdown.
All right, fine.
I'm not
how about
take
this?
The boom out of his name because of 1 month.
No, it's not that.
You take the boom out of DK Metcalf's name?
First of all, Metcalf's had a much more accomplished career than Devontae Smith. It's the last seven games that he has played with Jalen Hurts since they changed their offense and went extremely run heavy. He does not have more than six targets in any of those games. I don't think
maybe
one. And he
has more than four catches in one of those games.
He can still be a boom bust wide receiver with six targets. Van Jefferson probably has averaged six targets. He's a boom bust wide receiver.
More likely to boom or bust.
Bust.
Probably more likely to bust. I think most boom bust wide receivers are.
I think Dave and I are pretty disappointed. Like, I'm so disappointed because Hurts plays so well with 296 passing yards, and I just would have thought more would have been to Devontae Smith, who had a chance at a touchdown, couldn't come down, and that was a really tough play to make.
Pretty good evidence that this game is pretty good evidence that Dallas Goedert is the real number one receiver in Philadelphia.
All right. And so one disappointing thing for Antonio Gibson, he's dealing with this toe injury. He had, I believe, 20 of his 26 rushing yards on the first drive of the game. And he came off the field a decent amount, including on a touchdown drive where Jarrett Patterson got the touchdown. No reason why it should not have been Antonio Gibson, but he's got this toe issue. That's, I'm assuming, the only reason he was off the field. So, Dave,
He played 78% of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it could have been more. But he did have to leave the game and get treated a little bit here. But he had six catches.
Like, we've had times in the past where J.D. McKissick scored the rushing touchdown on a short yardage play when Gibson was fine. This is not the first time it's happened to Gibson.
It's true, but he did deal with the toe injury. I'm not lying. Yes. I'm not making this up. So what's your trust level in Gibson? But by the way, that's a recurring issue for him. What's your trust level in him next week at Dallas on Sunday night, Dave?
I'm good with him as a number two fantasy running back. For him to have the opportunities that he had, I love the targets and the catches. I'm not going to be able to overlook that. Now that I know that he's got a chance to replicate that with J.D. McKissick on the shelf, there's just I wish they had been doing that all year long. Then there'd be no trepidation in starting Gibson at all.
He's basically Josh Jacobs.
And they've done it pretty much for the last month. Like, he's got 7, 6, 2, 7 targets over the last month. I've got Gibson in my top 12 right now.
He's Josh Jacobs, right? I mean, pretty similar setup.
Yep. It's a great way to put it.
Okay, yeah, McKissick on IR in case you missed that news. And Terry McLaurin with 51 yards on two catches. I believe he had a 46-yard catch. It was on Darius Slay, who was basically glued to McLaurin unless McLaurin lined up in the slot. So you had Ramsey taking away Metcalf. You had Slay taking away McLaurin. Unfortunate stuff there. And I would say two almost touchdowns for tight ends in this game. Ricky Seals-Jones was kind of open in the end zone, and John Bates came up a yard or two short. So the Eagles this close to giving up a touchdown to a tight end. All right, I think that's about it. Jordan Howard, 23% rostered, maybe a little bit light in non or half PPR. If you want an edge while setting your DFS lineups, you got to check out the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast with Frank Stanfill, Mike McClure, and Sia Najad. Episodes drop on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You get cash analysis, GPP analysis. That is the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast, wherever you listen to this show. And by the way, if you're listening on Spotify, you can now leave a rating. We would really much appreciate that. Please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify if you enjoy the show. News and notes. Heath, can you suit up for the Chiefs this week?
No.
Okay.
No. And they still have plenty of players. Today will be the interesting day. I think if there's another 6 or 7 Chiefs that go on the COVID list today, then we have to start thinking pretty seriously about maybe some Tuesday night football.
How did you feel? But did you like Tuesday night football?
No.
No.
Not at all. It destroys my week.
Exactly. Like we are creatures of habit during the football season. And I mean, I'm sitting here right now still trying to fine tune my rankings, and it's kind of chaotic.
It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. My rankings are not published. My tight end preview is not done. It's kind of a disaster.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. All right, well,
sorry, you guys who are checking for the rankings and checking for the content. We'll get it up. I don't need any sympathy.
Okay. Well, should we just end the show? Let you guys get back? All right.
No, not at all.
We're free.
All right, so we got Tyreek Hill. We got Travis Kelce. Also, backup tight end Blake Bell. Starting linebacker Nick Bolton. Kicker Harrison Butker. Cornerback Rashad Fenton. Starting offensive tackle Lucas Niang. Hope I said that right. Cornerback Charvarius Ward. A lot of guys on the COVID list for the Chiefs as they play the Steelers this week. Elijah Mitchell will be a game-time decision for the Thursday game at Tennessee. Deontay Foreman has a foot or an ankle issue, but he practiced in full, so he's good to go, it looks like. MVS is on the reserve COVID list. So right now, do you think Alan Lazard is a waiver wire priority against Cleveland?
Yeah, he's probably right where we would have had MVS, maybe a little behind him as the waiver wire priorities go, which would make him a third among wide receivers. I'd rather pick up St. Brown. Definitely would rather pick up Gabriel Davis.
All right. Cole Beasley, speaking of Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley is on the COVID list and he's out this week. James Conner missed practice with a heel injury. They have a Saturday game against the Colts. Leonard Fournette likely out for the rest of the regular season, and Le'Veon Bell in the fold now. Is anybody adding Le'Veon Bell?
Tampa Bay.
Okay.
No.
This does not matter for Le'Veon Bell's fantasy value, but it's a negative sign for Ronald Jones, I think.
Just passing downs work.
A big part of Leonard Fournette's appeal is that he was getting 5 to 7 targets every week, and they hate Ronald Jones in the passing game so much that they want Le'Veon Bell on their team.
Well, they got to sign somebody, right? I mean, they got to bring in some depth.
I thought it was a bad sign they threw to Keyshawn Vaughn so much when he was so obviously not ready last week. Maybe Bell won't be activated, or I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe they're going to throw it to Ronald Jones.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. And they're facing Carolina, and they will be facing Carolina without Lavonte David, starting linebacker. And he is going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. And they kind of struggled against the run in 2 games without him. I think it's 2 to 4 weeks. He might be back for the playoffs, but they played 2 games without Lavonte David, Philadelphia and Chicago. Miles Sanders barely had any work. He had a good yards per carry, but Khalil Herbert had 100 yards rushing against them. So he's a very important player for Tampa Bay. I don't think you're starting Chuba Hubbard though. What else here, guys? Oh, Miami not committing to a running back. That's awesome. I guess it clears things up a little bit. What, Dave?
Predictable.
Yeah. That's it. And the Eagles became the first team with 175 or more rushing yards in 7 straight games since a team that you were probably very fond of. Your favorite football team ever. Dave, what do you think? What's your favorite football team?
You're trying to say it's the Bears?
It's the 85 Bears.
Mm.
That was the first Super Bowl I ever watched.
Oh.
I started off cheering for the Bears, and by halftime they were killing them so bad that I felt bad and started cheering for the Patriots to score or do something.
Dave, what was the first Super Bowl you ever watched?
I remember losing $1 to my dad on Super Bowl 19.
I don't know who was in Super Bowl 19.
49ers and the Dolphins.
Oh. That was 1984, January 84? No, 5, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
The 84 season.
Yeah. And my first Super Bowl was Bills-Giants. I think that's why I became a Giants fan. So thanks for nothing. Week 16, tough calls.
Does that mean that you were a field goal away from being a Bills fan?
No, probably from being a Jets fan, my guess. So actually,
well, then they saved you quite a bit of heartache.
Because my older brother's a diehard Jets fan, and I'm sure I would have been a Jets fan, but I think I probably fell in love with the Giants that day. It was a good outcome. All right, Brady against Carolina. Is this a tough call for you guys? We'll start with that, Heath.
It a little bit, but it's not a tough call in that I'm considering starting a streamer over him. I guess if you've been carrying two quarterbacks, and like the one that might be a really tough call is Jalen Hurts. If you had Hurts and Brady on your roster, I might consider going with Hurts. I mean, I prefer Herbert. Stafford is somebody I guess you could have with Brady.
How do you even go about doing projections for this game when we've never seen him without Godwin and Evans with Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah, you just project a lot of targets for Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski and a decreased efficiency for Tom Brady is what I did. And I projected more rush attempts and fewer pass attempts.
Yeah, there were four games last year where he had just one wide receiver, just Evans, basically, because Godwin missed the games. I think it was all Godwin missing the games. And in those four games, he scored 10 points against the Panthers, 42 points against the Chargers, 16 at the Bears, 23 at the Giants. So one solid game, two bad games, one huge game. I don't really know what to make of that. You guys are working on your rankings right now. Dave, is Tom Brady going to be in the top 10? Is he going to be in the top? First, is he going to be in the top 5? And then is he going to be in the top 10?
He is not in the top 5. My top 5 as of right now can definitely change as Rodgers, Herbert, Hurts, Stafford, and Josh Allen. After that, Brady is in that next group of 5. But so is Tyler Huntley and Joe Burrow. I think this is going to be a real, you're going to have some tough calls to make at quarterbacks across the board. Like if you look at your lineup and you've got Stafford in there, or obviously Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, thank your lucky stars. Like you don't have to worry about anything with your quarterback position. Don't have to sweat it one bit. But Huntley, you got to sweat out Lamar Jackson playing, and then you've got to sweat out Huntley playing well against Cincinnati. Burrow's been terrible for the past several weeks for fantasy, but this is a matchup that seems very favorable to him. So I think that he's kind of an easier guy to trust. Dak has been terrible. Mahomes doesn't have his top two options, and he's played poorly for, you know, most of the last 2 months with those guys. So okay. There are going to be a lot of tough calls, and there aren't a lot of great streamers.
So right now you have Huntley over Brady?
I have Brady over Huntley by one spot.
Okay.
I have Huntley over Brady currently.
Wow.
I get it. I completely get it.
Oh, boy. And I guess, do you think that, this is a huge question here, is do you think Antonio Brown just comes back in, plays a bunch of snaps, you know, yes, 80% or more, and is, you know, and is Brown?
See, that's the thing. I think he comes back. I think he plays 80% of the snaps, but I'm not sure he's going to be Brown immediately.
Okay.
It's been 3 games he's been suspended for, and he didn't play a lot before then. Huge question mark.
Let's go to Dak Prescott as a week 16 tough call. He will face Washington. They give up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They just gave up 28 to Jalen Hurts. But they gave up 11 to Dak Prescott just 2 weeks ago. Worth noting that they lost, Washington lost cornerback William Jackson to an injury last night. They were already playing without Fuller, who was on the COVID list. Hopefully they can get him back. But it's now 3 straight games, 4 out of 5 for Dak Prescott with 13 or fewer fantasy points in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. In his last 5 games since returning from a calf injury, he is averaging 9 rushing yards per game. So he's giving you nothing there. He is also averaging 41.2 pass attempts per game, but with a 2.4% touchdown rate. Anyway, Heath, start or sit Dak Prescott?
Well, I think you can probably guess by the last stat that you gave how I'm going to feel about Dak Prescott. If you tell me he's got a 2.4% touchdown rate over the past 5 weeks, what am I going to say?
Start him. Touchdown start him. Regression.
I will start Dak over both Mahomes and Brady right now. I would start him over Tyler Huntley.
Wow. Okay. I'm the exact opposite.
Oh, all right. Go on.
Well, he's been brutal. His offensive line hasn't protected him very well. The run game was okay. I think Pollard is the key to that run game now more so than Zeke. And he was having a hard time making splash plays with his receivers, not just last week, but over much of the past 6 weeks, I'd kind of estimate. So
I'd say 5. I think he missed the game 6 weeks ago.
Fine.
Yeah.
So really since then, how great has he been?
No, he's been bad.
So you just think Dak Prescott's bad now?
No, he has been bad for fantasy. His 16-game pace in that stretch is 4,022 yards, 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
So, right, he's on a pace for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
He's not throwing touchdowns.
He's also not running, and he's throwing a lot of interceptions.
And Dallas is starting to feel like the type of team that's going to win with its defense.
Yeah, they've been a little conservative.
Not blow teams out. Like, do you think they're going to score 27 points against Washington?
Kind of. Short week for Washington.
I mean,
that is true.
And this is where I get in trouble, because their implied point total is 28.25. So, yeah.
So you think they can get there? Okay.
I mean,
what's their implied point total been the last 5 games?
I do not have that, but probably pretty close to that. It's the same thing that happened with the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes was not playing very well. Vegas never stopped believing they were one of the best offenses in the league. And yeah. I think that's a better measure of what they're going to do than what they've done the last couple of weeks.
Why? Why though? That's so interesting. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you really do rely on Vegas, even though you call them Vegas, which is fine.
100 because... And it will be different on Sunday morning, and I think that will be an even more accurate number than currently. Maybe it comes down to 27 or goes up to 29. But that number is correlated with the number of points a team scores. Betting markets are efficient. They're not perfectly efficient. They're not always right. But I believe in them more than I believe in what's happened the past month.
Okay. And just so you know, in the past month, 21 points against the Giants, 27 against Washington. That was a game that Dak only had 11 fantasy points, but they got to 27. 27 against the Saints, 33 against Vegas. Notice how I pronounce that. I think that this is a team that is scoring around 28 points per game.
Are there any defensive touchdowns? I think.
Of course there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
More importantly, like how many games, and I can just go and look this up, how many games has Dak Prescott had with, 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in that span?
Oh, one. And that was the Raiders game.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 238 or fewer yards in the other 4 games. Now, look, I think he had some pretty good excuses. Kansas City and Las Vegas, he had no Cooper. And for, 3/4 of those games, he had no Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Then the New Orleans game, he barely had Cooper. Cooper was pretty limited. It's really the last 2 weeks that jump out. What the hell is going on? You throw 39 times against Washington, you score 11 points. 37 times against the Giants, you score 12 points. He's off. I mean, we talked about this on Sunday, right? It's like every quarterback's gone through their slump. And this feels like Dax. But I can't imagine he's not going to be in the top 12 with the state of the quarterback.
He's in my top 12.
Yeah. All right, so Dave's just a little bit lower. He says he's a must start. Let's go to our next guy here. Let's go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire against Pittsburgh. And with all the moving parts for Kansas City, he's an interesting guy. Pittsburgh, right now, they are certainly up there as having the worst run defense in football. Mike Tomlin said they got a lot of young guys on the line who are struggling with their gap integrity. They're just not in the right spots.
Getting pushed around.
Yep. I mean, they've lost They've had basically two of their top defensive interior linemen out for the season, or almost all of the season, so it's catching up to them. Dave, I'll give you the first word on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, coming off a disappointing game with 50 total yards against the Chargers. Start or sit?
He's a start. I think you start him as a number two fantasy running back. The matchup is too good, and the Chiefs' offense is depleted. And if it stays that way, then it should lead to good opportunities for both Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams. Williams has been getting the high value touches. He's been working a lot in the short yardage area near the goal line and on passing downs, more so than Edwards-Helaire. But Edwards-Helaire should lead the way in terms of carries. And I think he can find his way to 100 total yards in the game. The Steelers, you mentioned how bad they are. This is the stat that blows me away. And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've allowed 415 rush yards to running backs in their last two games. Now, one was against Minnesota. Everybody watched that game, and the Vikings run game put on a clinic there. But the Titans did too, just last Sunday.
Yes, they did. Heath, how much changes for you if Kelce and Hill play, or one of them play? How much does that change Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Well, he'd probably go from a top 12 running back, maybe down to a top 15 or top 18 running back. But I think he'll be pretty close to a must start regardless. It's a good matchup. I think Jacob Gibbs tweeted out yesterday that he ran a route on 68% of Mahomes' dropbacks, which was close to a season high. His snap rate was the highest since week one. He had a bad game. I think he was a little bit unfortunate. He's really close to a must start running back for me.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Gabriel Davis, only 32% rostered as of right now. Great opportunity. Let me wait till you hear how touchdowns and targets correlate for Gabriel Davis so far in his young career, and we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Gabriel Davis facing the Patriots with no Cole Beasley, and still we don't know about Emmanuel Sanders. In four games this season with five or more targets, he's caught a touchdown in every one of them. Last year, he had six games with five or more targets, and he caught a touchdown in half of those, three of the six. So that's pretty impressive. Maybe fluky, but pretty impressive. Dave, Gabriel Davis, it seems like you're pretty excited about him this week at New England, but the Patriots are really good against wide receivers. Really good.
If you can catch a touchdown against the Patriots in gale force wins, then you can at least be a consideration to start as a number three receiver against the Patriots this week. And that's what the situation is for Gabriel Davis. He's their number two receiver. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge for the Patriots now because he's been playing so well. He's going to draw attention and coverage. So too will Stephon Diggs. Which guy gets the double team in the red zone? I think that's going to be an interesting dilemma that the Patriots are going to have to work through. And I don't mind trusting him, even though he's going up against Belichick and company, as a number three receiver this week. If it was a weaker opponent, he'd not only be a top 24 guy, he might be closer to like 18. As a surefire number two type of fantasy wideout. I love the way that he's playing. Love the opportunity that he's getting. You know what the deal is with the Bills' run game and how that's struggled. I think that Gabriel Davis can actually come through again for fantasy managers, and he's trustworthy as a number three guy.
That's it, Heath? Just number three?
I think I've got him top 25. I'm starting him.
Okay. Let's see. I got a stat here for you. Somewhere. In their last six games, no wide receiver has more than 51 yards against the Patriots. That is wild. They have not faced a lot of good ones. They faced DJ Moore, Russell Gage. They faced the Bills in that weather game, Cleveland, Tennessee, and the Colts. So it's been tough, easier competition, but 51 yards, no more than 51 yards to receiver in six straight games. All right, look forward to talking about that one later in the week. Would you start Gabriel Davis or our next tough call, DJ Moore against Tampa Bay?
I think they're both inside my top 20, but I would probably start DJ Moore over Gabriel Davis.
Not a tough call? Not a tough call?
I mean, it's so hard to say when there's four teams left. You could very easily have three wide receivers that make DJ Moore a tough call. You could have Hunter Renfrow and Antonio Brown, Russell Gage, T. Higgins, Christian Kirk,
Parker,
Brandon Cooks. Like, there's lots of – I wouldn't put Parker in that range with Waddle back, but, yeah, I mean, there's lots of wide receivers that you could have that could make him a tough call. But, as I mean, he's basically been a number two wide receiver for most of the season. I think he's probably going to get close to – what, 7, 8, 9 targets? And if he scores a touchdown, it'll be great. If he doesn't, he'll be a number three.
So this is where I know Heath and I would disagree. You look at the first four games of the year. Sam Darnold threw for 279, 305, 304, and 301 passing yards. And you saw what DJ Moore could be with a good quarterback. He's elite. But since then, the last 10 games, they've had a dreadful passing game. And that's really what I look at here, because in those 10 games, per game, he's number 47 in non-PPR and number 37 in full PPR per game. And with Cam Newton, they're averaging, well, Cam Newton, PJ Walker, last four games, they're averaging 194 passing yards per game. So I think when you call him a number two receiver for most of the year, you're really those first four games are really weighted in there, and he is exactly 23rd per game in both formats. Those first four games bring it up a lot.
I would assume he's been top 15 or top 20 the last month. Since Cam Newton became the starter, he's gone 16, 14, 14, 10.
Yeah, so he's been good. I didn't get a chance to run those numbers, but he has been good. But I'm worried about it because he does have a 29% target share. He has 37% of their receiving yards. It just feels tenuous to me because their passing game is so bad, and they run the ball into the end zone, you know? And then there's Tampa Bay. Then there's the matchup. You know, the matchup is tough for me. Tampa Bay's been up and down, tough for me to evaluate. They've been very up and down. Lately, they haven't been good against wide receivers, but they just had about an 8-game stretch where they were very good against wide receivers. So that's why, to me, this is a tough call with Moore. Go ahead.
I think if we just, like, I don't think the matchup matters, or it doesn't matter for my projections. Tampa Bay is not one of the best defenses against the pass. They're not one of the worst defenses against the pass. They're somewhere in that 80% of teams that are in the middle. They might be good in this game. They might be bad. We don't know. DJ Moore is an elite wide receiver. With this current quarterback, he has been a starting wide receiver. For his career, he's been a starting wide receiver. He had a really terrible stretch in the middle of the season where Sam Darnold was awful. I don't really have much question about DJ Moore. He might be bad, but I can't find anything to be that concerned about.
Dave?
I like him much better in full PPR just because of the talent that he has and the target opportunity that he has. I wish it was even more. I wish that he was getting more targets from Newton and Walker, but I definitely struggle with him in half PPR and non PPR, but still probably carries upside enough of which that makes him a low end number two receiver.
You got to love the 29% target share since Cam Newton became the quarterback.
Right. It's big time. The problem is the quarterback. It has nothing to do with the player. Player is great, but to be a great receiver, you kind of need a great quarterback.
But has the quarterback been a problem the last month?
Yes.
Compared to the start of the season?
DJ Moore?
Yes. The only thing that's saving him is the target share. I just told you they're averaging 194 passing yards per game, and they've thrown four touchdowns in four games.
But it's not been a problem for his fantasy production. He's been good the last month.
Because of the target share. Because he's getting a ton of targets. But that's why I just think anytime you have a passing game this bad, it's a little concerning, you know?
DJ Moore should be a top 10 receiver in fantasy.
Yes.
We don't disagree on the talent. He's awesome. So what's holding him back? If it's not the talent. Well,
I understand that he's not been as good as he should be because of his quarterback play for pretty much his entire career. But that does not made him not a starting quarterback, a wide receiver. He's still been a starting wide receiver with bad quarterback play for pretty much his entire career.
Yeah, he has. But I think you said a lot of names that you could start over him, you know?
Yeah, those guys are all in my top 15 at wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for our Week 16 Tough Calls. Obviously, we'll preview all the games in the next 2 days. But we do have one to look at right now, and it's San Francisco at Tennessee. Dave, you ready for some Thursday Night Football? I love this game. I think it's so interesting. You feeling this game?
Yes.
I think it's going to be really gross.
It definitely has gross potential.
But that's okay. These teams play gross football, you know? And
I mean, it was just yesterday I was watching the Eagles and the Washington football team, and now tomorrow I've got more gross football.
Yeah, maybe.
I would use gross football with bad football. It might be gross for fantasy, but I think it could still be a really amusing game.
So to simplify it, sit the quarterbacks.
It would be an amusing game if my opponent has players from this game.
Well, but that's a thing. You know, Debo is a must start. And Kittle is a must start. The running backs are really interesting.
It comes down to who's available for San Francisco.
So which running backs do you like in this game?
Mitchell, if he plays.
Yeah, I just like the thing is because his practice participation yesterday, I think it's all estimate at this point. I'm not sure San Francisco State even having any real practices this week, but was DNP.
Yeah.
I don't think he's practiced in two weeks, right?
I'm not sure, but
he was in the concussion protocol before last week's game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't know, like if we find out, they say he's going to be a game time decision. So we find out at 7 o'clock when the inactives come out that Mitchell's active, we just expect he's getting the full workload.
I think it's fair that he might not, but I still get the majority.
I would think so. But he had the knee injury.
Man, that's only half the problem. We got the number one team against running backs in Tennessee. Yeah. And if you buy their run defense, then you should look at what Elijah Mitchell has done in other tough matchups. Now, this is subjective. These are sort of my opinion on what was a tough matchup at the time, so you can disagree with that. In week two, he faced Philadelphia. They started the year as a great run defense, and he had 17 carries for 32 yards. He faced Indianapolis midseason. This was his best game against a tough matchup. 18 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown. He faced the Rams, 27 carries, 91 yards. He faced the Seahawks. They do have a very good run defense. 22 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown. So yards per carry-wise, it was pretty bad. It was 3.37 or less in three of those four games. He did score in a couple of those, in two of those four games. But yeah, I mean, I don't. He's not the slam dunk that he would be in a normal situation, I guess. Obviously, for Elijah Mitchell. So I just wanted to bring that up. And
wouldn't be a top 12 guy.
And he wouldn't be. And on the other side, what you love about the Titans is they've been trailing recently, and they're still running the ball a ton. I mean, they haven't gotten away from their philosophy, but the Niners' run defense has been terrific for about 2 months now. So who's the best running back in this game?
If Mitchell plays, he's the best running back in the game. If Mitchell doesn't play, Foreman's the best running back in the game, but I still don't love him that much. I think you'll start him as a number two running back and hope that he can come through with another game with 20 touches like he's done two of his last three games, but he makes me nervous. He's totally dependent on that game script. The 49ers, you mentioned it. They shut down Dalvin Cook to a pretty good degree. Mixon and Cordarrelle Patterson, that's all within the last 4 weeks. Two rushing touchdowns in those past four, only 100 total yard game. That went to Dalvin Cook. I will admit that they're in a tough spot, though. Playing on the road on a short week late in the season ain't easy. So I can't expect them to play the same way in this game as if it were a Sunday afternoon game at Levi's Stadium. So that gives me a little bit of hope with Foreman. But Foreman also only played 40% of the snaps for the Titans, was splitting. McNichols is working as that third down guy and the two-minute guy. And Hilliard started the game. So I there's still confusion about how they will roll in Tennessee. And that just makes me a little queasy to rush Foreman into lineups and say, must start type of guy.
Would you start Deontay Foreman or A.J. Dillon?
Foreman.
I have Foreman one spot ahead of Dillon right now in non-PPR.
Would you start Foreman or Saquon Barkley at the Eagles?
Barkley.
Saquon. Both Foreman.
Really?
Yep. I think Barkley might be top 15 for me in PPR.
Yeah, he might be around there for me in PPR. Might probably closer to top 20 in PPR.
But it's kind of the DJ Moore argument.
I agree. When it comes to Saquon,
he's going to get a bunch of targets.
To a degree, I agree. There's still some things that Saquon's doing that I don't like.
That's only PPR, though. What about non or half PPR?
Yeah, it's closer.
I'd go Foreman because I think the Eagles' run defense has been outstanding lately, and they have, and you know, I always talk about time of possession. They're going to have 35 minutes of possession against the Giants.
I still have Saquon over Foreman, but it's like back to back and non. The problem for the Eagles is a very short week.
Yeah, I guess so. The good thing for the Eagles is the Giants.
I know, but the short week thing really matters a lot, especially in December.
Okay.
These guys are playing a lot of football.
All right. So if Mitchell doesn't play, you'd go Foreman over Jeff Wilson?
I would. Titans have allowed under 2 yards per carry to a running back in three of their last four games.
Wow. And then Brandon Ayuk, starter sit. And what about A.J. Brown and Julio Jones?
I would like to not have to use either of them, to be honest. But I think I've got Ayuk 33rd and A.J. Brown 34th right now. If we got some type of indication that they think A.J. Brown's going to be a full go, I would be more interested. But we just saw, and it's Julio, it's different, but A.J. Brown's injuries over the last 3 years are piling up in a hurry. We just saw a week ago in Julio Jones' first game back, he played 40-45% of the snaps. So I'm worried that we don't see the full A.J. Brown.
I'm worried about it too, but I kind of can't help myself here. I think the matchup's okay. They've allowed 7 touchdowns to wideouts in their last 4 games. And that, again, Niners defense traveling on a short week late in the season against A.J. Brown, who I agree with you. I'd love to hear about him being full go and looking like his old self. That would mean a lot because now we're talking about a really good receiver with fresh legs playing against a tired defense. And that just sounds like a recipe for 100 yards and a touchdown.
And not only that, they are much worse, it seems to me anyway. Maybe I'll take the word much out. They are clearly worse, though, without Emmanuel Mosley, their top cornerback. We've seen that evidence. So Julio is going to be a sit. Right? We can't trust him, right?
Can't trust him.
All right. Tannehill is a sit. I'll get back to Garoppolo in a second. Kittle is a start, obviously. How many pass attempts do you have Garoppolo projected for?
30.
Yeah, the problem for Ayuk.
I'm not even considering Garoppolo in anything but a 2 quarterback league.
No, but it's Ayuk, you know, because the Titans just cannot score lately. Man, they've been so bad scoring points. And when that happens against the Niners, it's just run. And, you know, if you don't get more than 30 passes, how many targets are you going to get for Ayuk? 6?
Is that basically where he's been at?
Yeah.
6 or fewer.
And I think there's I understand nobody's going to do anything except for start Deebo Samuel. But I am terrified that he's going to just lay a complete egg.
Chris mentioned that he had, even in those games where he was getting 1 or 2 targets 3 straight weeks, he had still been running a lot of routes. So it was weird. And then last week he finally got back involved. But yeah, you have to start him, right? Just have to. Okay. Go ahead. I was going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
I mean, there are situations where I might sit him, but he's not a top 12 receiver for me.
Russell Gage or Deebo Samuel? Well, let me phrase it this way. Russell Gage or the number two wide receiver in fantasy for this season?
Yeah, I would go Gage in PPR.
It's bold. You might be kicking yourself for 6 months if you're wrong on that, though.
But here's the thing.
Has way more upside.
For me, I would be kicking myself if I played the guy who was projected lower just because I was afraid I'd be kicking myself.
Folks, don't kick yourself. It's just not worth it. Would you start a DST in this game?
I haven't even started my DST rankings.
I have. Let me go to my Niners. Yeah, I've got the Niners as a startable DST.
I think the Niners are a startable DST.
10 plus fantasy points to each of the past four DSTs against Tennessee. Also 5 of the past 6. Really, ever since Derrick Henry got hurt.
A lot of turnovers. And Garoppolo, we do get a decent amount of Garoppolo questions. So would you rather have Garoppolo or Justin Fields at Seattle this week?
Fields.
I have Fields ranked higher.
Garoppolo or Tua?
Garoppolo over Tua.
Garoppolo or Ben Roethlisberger?
I have Ben currently higher.
Yeah, that
great against quarterbacks over the last 7 games, but I think game script changes dramatically if Mahomes doesn't have Kelce and Tyreek.
Garoppolisberger. I think you could do something with that. All right, we got about 10 minutes left. Let's talk Dynasty here, and then we'll read your questions via Apple Podcast and email. Dynasty wide receivers, riser and a faller. Heath Cummings, what you got?
Let's talk about a couple of guys who I think are the same age. I know they were on opening day. They were 28 years old on opening day. They may be 29-year-old wide receivers now. Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. Moving in completely opposite directions. No, Kupp's still just 28. Kupp was a borderline number two dynasty wide receiver coming into the year. Right now, I've got him 10th, and make it 9th. I think there's some people who would say he should be top 5 with the way he's the best wide receiver in fantasy this year. He's also going to be 29 at the start of next year. So we don't know how long the future is, and we've never seen a season like this from him.
No, it's amazing what he's doing. It's a little perplexing. How is he having this good of a year? It's wild.
Allen Robinson was a borderline number, he was actually just ahead of Cooper Kupp at the beginning of this year. And I don't know where he's going to go, how much money he's going to get, or if he'll even be a number one wide receiver ever again.
Definitely true.
The best thing that he had done was just be a target hog. It's interesting evaluating a player like him because he wasn't a big playmaker. He wasn't incredibly efficient or anything like that. He just kept getting 150-plus targets. And I think the thought was, well, his quarterback stunk. I'm sure there was a lot to that. But
100% true.
Yeah, but maybe he just wasn't that great either.
It's tough because he has basically at every stop been considerably better than the quarterback he was playing with in terms of like that quarterback throws. The quarterback's worst throwing to anybody but Allen Robinson. And earning 150 targets per year is a skill. Lots of guys can't get that many targets because they can't present that many opportunities for the quarterback to throw to them. So I don't want to sell him short. I still think he was awesome. The problem is this year, at 28, he's not really been better than his quarterback play. He's been outplayed by a fifth-round, second-year wide receiver in Darnell Mooney, and now he's going into free agency after the worst year of his career. Maybe the second worst year of his career. 2016 was really awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's also been, most years, by far the best receiver on the team. He's really not had significant target competition, but this year, as you said, Mooney outplayed him. All right, where did Robinson end up in your dynasty rankings? Where is he?
Currently 40. And probably 45 once the rookies get put in February or March. I would guess there'll be 4 or 5 rookies ahead of him. A landing spot could change that, could fix it all.
Now give me one.
I'm trying to think, like, what's the best place?
How about Green Bay?
How about
as a number two?
I don't, that would not make me excited at all. But if he went somewhere with, let's say, a Deshaun Watson who had everything settled and in order and was the number one wide receiver, or with a Russell Wilson and had everything settled and was a number one wide receiver, like if he could somehow find a way to a truly elite quarterback as the number one wide receiver, then he's back in the top 30 discussion.
But that's
made a face when I said Deshaun Watson.
I think it's top 30, and that's it. Like, if he goes to Green Bay as the number two receiver, at best, top 35-ish. If he goes to, you know, everything, miracle recovery for Deshaun Watson in Houston, Brandon Cooks leaves, and Allen Robinson is the number one guy there. Okay, it's never happening, but let's say it does. Maybe top 30. I don't see myself going back to Allen Robinson as a top 24 guy.
But if he goes to one of those spots, like lands with one of those good quarterbacks, he's a good month away from being back in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with Russell Wilson, though, is that there's just the Giants have too many receivers as it is. So I don't think, you know,
I thought they had to send Tony in the Wilson deal last night.
Oh, that's fine. That's goodbye. All right. Boy, I've really turned on Kadarius Toney, huh? Apple Podcast questions we got from the man, 1234. I'd like to hear your thoughts on a 2 week long playoff matchup and how you would approach it. Would you load up on more high ceiling types of players in the first week, like Gabriel Davis and Alan Lazard, or would you prefer a safer floor like Stevenson or Jeff Wilson? See where you stand heading into week two, and if you're trailing, then maybe take the boom bust shots, or do you just play your best guys?
I typically recommend playing your best guys. Just makes sense. It's easy to do. And then you do that in the first week of the 2 week playoff. Second week, you need to add some boom bust. You got to take some chances. You know what you got to do.
I like 2 week playoffs, but unfortunately the fantasy football calendar doesn't really work for it because week 14 has byes and week 18, you don't want to be playing in, but I suppose you could do it in a 10 team league.
I think, like, cause there's a lot of different places where there are playoffs with byes. And I just, like, I know why that bothers people, but it's not surprising anyone. If you're in one of those leagues on draft day, you're drafting knowing that there are players on byes during the playoffs.
And Scott Fish does it really cleverly, right? I mean, he gives you the average of your first 13 right. weeks plus whatever you score in week 14.
That's a way you could do it too.
Which makes sense because, you know, if you had Jonathan Taylor, you've had an advantage on everyone through the first 13 weeks. You have not had a bye for your best player. So you should, you know, you should have to deal with that in some fashion, but not having him for a playoff matchup seems a little harsh. Not having, you know, anybody for a playoff matchup seems, I don't like it. But
as someone who drafted some Travis Kelce, I would agree with you. It seems unfair. Let's do something about it.
All right, let's do some emails from Rob. Dear Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, and Comet. I know them.
Hamsters.
Yeah. I have two flex and a super flex spot. Pick three in PPR, tight end premium. All right, remember, it's a super flex spot and two flexes. So Cam Newton, Pat Freiermuth, who currently has a concussion, Christian Kirk, Gabriel Davis, and Brandon Cooks.
I think the easy answer is Cooks and Cam.
I think you need three. You get two flex and the super flex.
I need the names again.
Sure. Cam, I'm going to say no Freiermuth because he's, you know, we're not expecting him.
On his second concussion of the year.
Cam, Kirk, Gabriel Davis, and Cooks. You need to sit one.
I'd sit Gabe.
I think I've got Kirk ahead of Davis. So I agree.
Okay. From Eric, dear Rick, Arn, Ollie, and Tully.
Those are some men.
Who are they, Heath?
Dave just said it.
Some what?
The Four Horsemen.
Oh. Okay. Good thing I didn't guess. full PPR. Pick two running backs and... What?
I would have liked that.
Yeah, I bet. Pick two running backs and two flex. Jonathan Taylor, obviously. So then we need one more running back and two flex. Zeke, Jacobs, Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel.
So I'm sitting one of these guys?
You're sitting... Okay, pick a running back. Zeke or Jacobs?
Jacobs.
Now pick two flex. Zeke, Jamar Chase, and Deebo.
I'm sitting Chase.
I think I'm sitting Zeke.
Yeah, Dave. Woo! That's it, Zeke. All right.
You guys are simpatico today.
Yeah, I know. Well...
No, it's bad for Adam.
It's Kane's thing.
Dave him.
Hey. Sorry, Heath?
Could Dave him?
Dave him, yeah. Or Dave Razor could do that too. Hey, Ralphie, Flick, Schwartz, and Randy. Is that A Christmas Story?
Yes.
I mean, that is such a bad movie. We got to get it out of the Christmas rotation. There's so many better Christmas movies.
Okay.
12-team PPR Superflex. Pick one. Devin Singletary, Brandon Ayuk, James Connor. Pick one.
I think I'm picking Connor.
I would right now I would go Connor. But let's see how the injuries progress. I'd go Singletary over Ayuk.
And how about DeVarn Nova? 14-0 PPR Superflex Dynasty League. All right. He needs a Superflex. Let's see. What does he need? Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, or Tyler Huntley. Who do you like? 4 point per passing touchdown.
Huntley.
Huntley if there's no Jackson. Cousins if there is Jackson.
And Christian Kirk, Antonio Gibson, Ronald Jones, or Van Jefferson in PPR. Who's your flex? Kirk, Gibson, Jones, Van Jefferson.
I would go Gibson.
Which Jones?
Ronald.
I think I have Gibson over Jones.
Okay. I think one more here from Andrew. I have a few tricky calls going into the semifinal. It's a standard scoring league. He's got Mixon and Pirine, Kamara, Connor, and Jeff Wilson. Pick two of them. Mixon, Kamara, Connor, Wilson. Or Pirine.
Kamara and Connor.
Over Mixon?
Yeah, I'm not loving Mixon.
Non-PPR, you said, right?
Yes.
I would go Kamara and either Mixon or Pirine.
And then two wide receivers, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, and Brandon Cooks.
Sit Cooper.
Same.
And then a flex. Cooper or one of those running backs, Mixon, Connor, Wilson. Non-PPR.
Connor.
Might go with one of the Bengals running.
Yeah. Back, so. All right. That makes it easy, right? So it's Kamara, Mixon, Connor, Keenan Allen, and Brandon Cooks. Cool. Good stuff. Good show. Good food. Good friends. Good conversation. And thank you, Dave. I got a laugh out of Dave. There we go. Dave and I was with an inside joke. Dave Razor, everybody. For Heath Cummings and Dave Razor, I'm Adam with Ben Schrager. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. Start or sit for the AFC home games. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
New NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.